to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's January 9th, 2023, 7 p.m. And can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Milshewski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia is absent. Millen?
Here.
Reifstack?
Here.
Schumacher?
Here.
Schimpf?
Here.
And Pasola is absent.
Okay. Let's see. We have Shelley, our library director here, and we have Ms. Neustrom,
yes.
Right, from Friends of Library, and I'm sorry, I don't...
We're just Kremsky family. We live in Yorkville.
Okay, nice. Nice to meet you. Welcome. And, okay, are there any amendments to the agenda that anyone wants to make? Shelley, are there any presentations that you know of?
No.
Okay. If everybody could take a look at the last month's minutes and approve if they agree with it. Motion that we approve the minutes from of the Board of Trustees meeting from last month, December
12,
2022.
Second.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstack?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
And Milshewski?
Yes.
Any correspondence?
No.
Public comment? Can we have the Friends of the Library report?
Okay. January was much busier than December, so I do have things to report. Our budget right now stands at $13,104.44. However, as we're looking at the what we have encumbered as far as programs and allocated, we realize we have a shortfall. So it was approved at the meeting to move a portion of funds over about, probably we haven't determined as of yet, but it's about $1,500 so that there isn't, that, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't do another program. Mike was present in the meeting, and he says, he always looks for free. But of course, some do charge, and we don't want to limit because he is such a good attendance. So that's going to be forthcoming. That also led us to a discussion on how we can cast a wider net, become more aware of who we are and what we're doing and how we're supporting. And so we're going to continue that discussion of ways that we can really be a presence out in the community to draw more people in because I see this need to raise more funds, certainly. For the programs that do occur a fee, the creative writing and the yoga, and there's a cooking class going to be coming up, and all of these things, although we have a donation, suggested donation, we're going to kind of ramp that up a little bit, making it, people maybe don't even notice, and because they're so filled, if we could get love donations for the programs, it would help tremendously offset this. So that's on the forefront. The library will do a Valentine treat for the staff this year. And as far as the mini golf, we're doing very well with volunteers, and that is up and running. And so we're all ready. The Friends of Library realized that Shelley incurred quite a crisis, we just wanted to recognize her and make sure that her leadership did not go unnoticed during this time. So we do have a brief letter, recommendation letter, that we want to read to the board. Friends of the Yorkville Public Library want to commend Library Director Shelley Augustine for the way she handled the burst pipe situation at the library. Shelley provided decisive, solid leadership. She was calm and respectful, and as one staff member said, she did it all with class. Shelley's excellent problem-solving skills were what was needed at the time. And so that is from the Friends of the Library, and I would really like to give this to you to keep for record. So.
Thank you.
And that's all. Any questions for it?
And I agree. Yes. Yes. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything? All right. Then let's move on to my staff. Report of the treasurer.
Okay. So I don't know if anybody had a chance to look over the bill list. I sorry, Shelley, I didn't have a chance to go over it with you. You just see we have our annual alarm monitoring, which is $1,400 and change. One popped out. Other than that, I don't think. Sean, is there anything you were concerned about?
Yeah,
looks pretty good.
This Elm USA on page 9 of the packet. For $1,382.95. This was a replacement for our, it's a piece of equipment that repairs our CDs and DVDs. It gets used quite a bit, and we've had it for quite a while, so Dixie purchased a new one, and she's sending the old one back, and we should be receiving a credit, too. So.
Any other questions or anything on there?
The Imperial Service one, is that the contract cost?
Yes, the cleaning.
Okay.
Yep. I will mention on page 11, TCG Solutions, there's four invoices. This is for our phone system, and this goes back to August. I had held it until I had received a corrected invoice from them because our PA system wasn't working at the time, so I was waiting for him to take that off of our invoice. So we got that worked out.
Hey, Shelley, can I ask you a question? I went to ask the other day on the cleaning service. How often do they clean? Is it a nightly?
Yes.
Okay.
6 days a week. Those are the only larger numbers that maybe you needed to know a little bit more about.
Any other comments or questions? I'm going to make a motion to approve the bill list with total bills in the amount of $25,578.97. Total payroll, $36,682.82 for total disbursements of $62,261.79.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reichstag?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Milsuski?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes.
Oh, you will go. I see.
The city leads on. So we did have a standing committee that met, the finance committee. Oh, yes.
Do you want my library report?
I'm sorry. Oh, wow.
That's what
sorry.
I'm saying.
Sorry. Yes, please. Except the director's report.
All right. So it starts on page 23, and I just list a few of our upcoming programs that I want to make you all aware of. Jeanette's putting together a winter reading challenge this year, and she's doing it based on a bingo challenge for the kids, so they get to come in and pick up their bingo card and try to make a bingo by doing each of the challenges, and they can turn their card in for a raffle ticket. And then the Friends of the Library have provided the prize for that to be determined. let's see, our Illinois Libraries Presents that we are co-partners with. We will have an event with, an evening with Ross Gay. He's an American poet who won the National Book Critics Circle Award for Poetry. So this program will be on Wednesday, January 11th at 7 p.m. by Zoom. So you can register if you'd like to view this program on our website under our calendar of events. Mike has started a healthy cooking class. So that first class will be Monday, January 16th at 11:30. And this will be Healthy Cooking with Jess. Jess is also our yoga instructor. So I believe this program is filling up quite nicely. And I think I saw that it might be a waiting list. I'm not sure.
Yes,
that's what he said, waiting list. So that's great. And there's talk about that continuing on as well. Mike had done a survey a while back to ask what some of our patrons would like to see in the library or programs, and a lot was cooking classes and stress management classes, that type of thing. So he's done a great job with listening to what our patrons are looking for. Let's see. He's starting back with the Northwestern Medicine Group, and so they will be doing a stress management and mindfulness class on Wednesday, January 25th. And we're excited about this next one, the Microsoft class. We had someone approach us asking if they could teach a Microsoft class here at the library. So we're going to give that a go. And I believe those classes are already filled up as well. Jeanette is doing a Paying for College Without Going Broke Zoom class on Wednesday, January 25th. And this was shared on our Facebook page by quite a few community entities as well. So we hope to get a good turnout for that. And of course, the mini golf fundraiser is Sunday, February 5th, 11 to 4. We have all of our hole sponsors. We have 19 hole sponsors. Caitlin had to come up with new sponsorship levels because we ran out of things to sponsor. So we're doing a clubhouse sponsor. Steve Rausch, our facilities manager, put a letter out to all of his contractors and got 5 to 6 more sponsors for us. So I believe we're up to almost $4,000 in sponsorship, which is huge for us this year. And the library operations part, I will talk about in new business. It's basically what happened the day after Christmas. We had some staff members become deputy registrars this month, so that will enable them to register patrons for the upcoming election. We hosted our holiday party for staff on December 16th, which was really fun. We had a white elephant exchange. Some people took it literally and some didn't. We'll have to make better wording on that next year. I did receive a $250 donation from the Lions Club. We get a donation from them every year. Goes for the purchase of large print books in our collection. And so that photo is in the Kendall County Record this week. And I believe that is it for my report.
I have one question. What is our programming for MLK Day?
Well, it got canceled. It was booked by Genevieve last year.
Yeah.
But it was not forwarded on to Mike this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the presenter never reached out to us either. I saw it was on our calendar for this year, so I had Mike contact the presenter, and he got back to us last week, and he decided that maybe, because that gives us only 10 days to market the program, mm-hmm. which he did, Mike did, but we were afraid that we wouldn't get a big turnout for it, so we're moving it to April, which coincides with his anniversary of his death.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Kids are doing a few crafts mm-hmm. and sections of programming as well.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Got away from me this year. Sorry.
Okay, so now we can go on to standing committees. So we had a finance meeting.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Finance budget meeting. So we had all the paperwork, or all the initial budgeting ideas given to us. Steve Rausch came in and Rob Treder. So that was really good. Steve was a really good, had good input.
Yeah.
Very good. So with his input of things, like he gave us a whole like list of capital budget recommendations. Mm-hmm. And with that, and some big thing is our equipment and life expectancy. That's kind of scary. So we talked about how we can approach our budget a little different than we have in the past, so that more money is being put away, so that when these things like these water breaks or this, the equipment starts failing, mm-hmm. we got to build up a nest egg. Mm-hmm. So we talked with Rob and about moving some funds from different different categories, and that's kind of where we left. It was very preliminary.
I have a meeting with him tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going to meet again and take the suggestions from the committee and Steve and reassess the budget and mm-hmm. realign it and see what they can come up with so that we are in a better... They've never done this. No one's ever really said what this building needs, what's going to... Mm-hmm. Where is our life expectancy? And so with his information, we can maybe kind of plan better for the future. So it's very preliminary, mm-hmm. but he was very helpful.
I think we need to have a finance or a physical facilities meeting. Then we can go over that list mm-hmm. and then look at the priorities, I think.
Yeah, no, we've got the life expectancy. We know what's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Steve had given at the meeting, what was it? Called something.
Yeah, this one, the facilities operating.
Yeah.
Oh, and this one too, that ASHRAE?
Yeah, ASHRAE.
Yeah, I think we had that in a previous committee meeting with Steve.
You did have that?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I have a capital assessment project planning spreadsheet mm-hmm. that we can use to fill in, and it projects out 20 years.
Okay.
We could start there.
And we discussed moving things of what areas of the budget we put away for, or allocate money for DVDs and books, mm-hmm. so that we have more money going into that than what we've had in the past. And so it's just a lot of, you know, like, it's going to be a lot of what we got initially, going to be some shifting. To see.
It's going to take more than one meeting.
Yeah, it's going to be a process.
Yeah.
But it was very good that Steve came in and I think, gave us...
I'm very, very, very grateful for
yes,
Steve and for Ted, especially through this mm-hmm. flooding.
Well, nobody's ever done that, you know, for the library. No one sat down and said, hey, you know, we talked about a big study done at the city on these buildings, and nobody really shared the one over.
We've started to hear this. Nobody wants to hear it. I've said that.
Yeah. No, you're right. Nobody there wants to hear it. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you kicked it off.
Thank you.
I talked to the mayor about it 2 months ago. And it's like, it's, and I brought it up in the meeting, you know, this belongs to all taxpayers. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't just library. This is a city building. It's just the same as the building over there. It's the same as the new building or the Beecher Center. And it's ridiculous that it's always been a fight, like, oh, it's the library. Well, it's not going to happen anymore. I don't have anything to say about it, because it's our building, and we have to take care of it. And I think that proved, as Shelley will report, mm-hmm. you know what happens when you don't take care of things. Mm-hmm. So it's just like your home, and this is the home for our library, and we need to take care of it. So we'll be coming back with more, but it was interesting, and Shelley had some good suggestions, and Rob agreed, and so we're going to...
So what's the next step with kind of this?
I have a meeting with Rob tomorrow to go, I would assume, line by line, and especially look at the professional services line.
One thing that was big, not to interrupt, but which we never had, it came up that to do, and Rob agreed, we would have like a building and maintenance fund, which does not exist.
Line item.
A line item. Mm-hmm.
That way we can...
So that's one of the things.
Pinpoint exactly what is spent on the building versus having it in professional services and in maintenance and...
So Steve had listed like all these. Was he the red?
Yeah.
So all these little red things were Steve's suggestions. So instead of having one separate line items, it's like, well, can we just do that as building maintenance, building repairs, whatever, you know, some kind of kit.
Is there something similar done with the other city buildings?
They do a building and grounds line item.
Yes. Like that. So we're gonna. Hopefully, we can align this more with this. Other building, the city council's budget, mm-hmm. which I don't understand why in the past that input wasn't put in here. Just kind of bad on that. Bad on me for being there and being back. So take that. Well, it just, I don't know, you think that it would be the same for all our buildings, so, and it wasn't. So that was our meeting. It was a kickoff.
Yeah.
We'll be back for more.
Thank you. And now we go right into unfinished business, which is HVAC repairs.
Okay. Well, I'm really not going to report on HV repairs because they're just ongoing, and I haven't received any invoices yet to report on. But I did include the natural gas costs and the electricity costs on page 33-35 of your report. So...
Okay.
It went up, but it's still down.
It went up on the electricity.
Yeah. Even the gas usage here, I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Which it should have, because it was cold.
Well, the electricity probably from all of those fans going for days.
Yeah. We'll probably see that one next month. Well, we don't pay for that.
Great.
Really.
Okay. Track the usage, though.
All right, I guess now we'll go on to new business, which is update on flooding in the library.
Okay. So, on Christmas Day, I got a call from Ted that this building, the pipes were froze. And that's not uncommon. In the past several years, what we've had to do is make sure that the heat is at a good temperature. And in our kitchen back here, we have to make sure that the doors to the sink are open because it gets very cold underneath there, and it's an outside wall, and have the drains dripping. Well, the drains, the water faucets didn't get dripping. So the lines froze, but nothing broke, so that was good. Trico was able to come in and make sure that the lines were thawed and everything is good now. So that will be part of our closing procedure in the winter time, is to make sure that when this building, when this room is closed, that we keep the temperature up and we keep the doors open and keep the water trickling. So But then the next day, the day after Christmas, Ted called me around 11 and said that we had two pipes burst in the library upstairs. One in my office and one in study room B, which is across the library. So these are both outside walls. And when I arrived at the library, Ted, our maintenance guy, and Tom from Trico were trying to find the shutoff valve for my office because the water was just pouring in. So it had been pouring in for quite some time. And because of that, it flooded my office, and the ceiling tiles collapsed, of course, because of the water. But then it, on the floor, it flooded the office next to me. Mm-hmm. It flooded our IT room, and we have receptacles in the floor. Those were had water in the line, the conduit line. Nothing was lost, thankfully, in that room. And the power continued to stay on. I don't understand, but... And then it also flooded from the IT room into large print section of the library on the floor. So we had to move two large shelving units of books to get them off the wall. So the emergency people could come in and... vacuum up and do what they needed to do. So Steve had contacted Surf Pro, and they came in. Well, before Surf Pro came, we had two public works people here. It was Ted, Steve, someone from Trico, myself, and my husband were doing a lot of vacuuming to try to stop the water from spreading. And then the Public Works employees went to the store and brought back two shop vacs and blowers and tarps and extension cords and that. So we were able to tarp off some of the circulation dust because it was dripping down from the server room into the first floor. So once we got the water turned off, we got a lot vacuumed up ourselves. That's when Surf Pro came in to stabilize the environment. They brought in 56 blowers and three dehumidifiers and an air purifier. And they had to remove the vinyl baseboard where it had gotten wet. And then what they do is they drill holes in the drywall, the bottom of the floor, and then they position these blowers so they blow across the carpet and up through the studs of the library. Luckily, our library is steel construction, and our carpet does not have padding, and it has a cement floor. So. We were very fortunate there that no drywall had to be replaced. Mm-hmm. So those blowers were installed for maybe 3 or 4 days. And then once those were removed, then a company could come in and do the painting that needed to be done and reinstalling baseboards and putting in new ceiling tiles. So everything seems to be done now and put back in order. And insurance claim has been filed with Rob has filed the insurance claim, and Steve handled all of the paperwork for it. So when the friends say that I was part of this, it's more Steve and Ted, really. It really is. So... That's where we are. The insurance adjuster came after all of the equipment was removed, which is unfortunate because I kind of thought that they would want to be here during the most devastating part of it, but it was when things were being cleaned up. But He was here for quite some time. So we're waiting to hear back from him. Okay. That's where we are. Now, Trico came back in and replaced valves in my office. They did leak. I believe, was I showing it to you when it leaked?
No.
I was showing it to someone, and I said, did you see that?
Sure.
So they came back in and just replaced them again.
Wow.
And insulated the pipes in my office. My office is, has two outside walls, and it has a western, northerly western facing, so it gets a lot of the weather. And it gets really cold in my office. So one of my valves, I think, was not working. So that just speaks to all of the other little valves and actuators and VAV boxes that need to be looked at throughout the library, because this can happen again. So they put in a little bit more insulation across the top, and I know Steve reached out to someone at the city to talk about, look at the plans that were shown and insulation on our roof. So. That's a to be continued thing as well.
There's no insulation under the door.
It doesn't seem like there is.
Not over where by you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem unless it's between the roof panel and that. If there's something in there, I don't know.
It looked like just the roof.
Yeah, it looked like to me.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next new business, director's evaluation goal number 2.
Okay, so yeah, you guys have set 4 goals for me. This is goal number 2, to research the establishment of a 501c3 for the library, including details on the management, cost, legal requirements, and communication, to be presented at the January board meeting. So on page 37 of your packet through page 39 is the report. And I basically took this wording from the Administration Ready Reference, which is a website through the Illinois State Library, the Office of Secretary of State. And it this detailed information about public libraries' laws, policies, and ordinances. So it lists information on charitable giving and talks about 2 ways that an Illinois public library can qualify for charitable gifts. And one would be to set up a tax-exempt foundation or a 501c3. And the second step I'll talk about later, but the 501c3 is for a not-for-profit group. And there's 2 steps to doing this. First, you would have to, the group, and it's not the library. It has to be a separate entity from the library that does this and applies for this. They first have to become a not-for-profit through Illinois Secretary of State's office. They develop articles of incorporation, bylaws, board of directors, and they register with the office. So that's basically what a Friends of the Library is right now. And then the second step would be registering with the IRS and applying for a charitable foundation status as a 501c3. Now, I'm taking the wording from this ready reference that says this is a lengthy process in terms of forms, approvals from IRS, but expensive in terms of application, renewals fees, annual tax returns, and accounting or attorney fees. But it can be done. But it would be done through a group, either like a Friends of the Library or a foundation of the library. Now, a second step to qualify for receiving charitable gifts is inherent in nature as part of being part of a municipality, which is what we are. So we're considered a political subdivision of the city. And the IRS code recognizes us as a 107(c)(1). And we can receive charitable contributions that way. And then I just listed some of the benefits of being a 107(c)(1). Saves the library money. We don't have to form a corporation for this purpose. There are no state forms to complete. No filing fees, no attorney fees. So basically, we're good to operate as this, a 107(c)(1). But there is also another option that I've gone down and applied for as well. So this is called the Funds for Illinois Libraries through the Illinois State Library Association. And I've created this account with them. The Illinois Library Association is considered a 501c3, and they can act on our behalf to accept donations. And this is for corporations or businesses that require a 501c3 to donate to someone. So we can say, we are not a 501c3, we have a fund with the Illinois Library Association. You can write your check out to them, and they will in turn send it to us. And then they will provide the tax exempt letter for their business.
Is this what was done 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So their annual fee for doing this is based on your donation. So if we don't have any donations through them, it doesn't cost us anything. If we get $1 to $1,000, it costs, our annual fee is $50. If we have $1,000 to $5,000, our annual fee is $100. And $5,000 or above, the annual fee is $300. So it's, you can see the cost savings there just by going through this versus becoming a 501c3. Now, I know this is something that the Friends was talking about, so I would recommend that we continue using this Fund for Illinois Libraries, but if this is something that the Friends want to pursue, I am happy and willing to be part of that process too.
So this is more in line for contributions for like capital improvements or anything that we need for the library?
I don't think you can use that. Any kind of donations that you get like that have to be for gifts made for exclusively public purposes. So I think you would have to be really careful with what is considered public purpose.
But capital improvements of this building is public, right? For public purpose.
It would have to be. I would have to probably get a better clarification on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speak of legal, let's see if we've got some bills coming up based on our finance committee. That would be scary.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the fundraising I think we were thinking about when we talked about this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an idea how long the process takes to consider the 501 run?
No. That I don't know.
That seems like a rough way to go. I mean, if we have a fund, mm-hmm. to use it, but let's see if we can use it in the manner we're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. So if we use this fund for Illinois libraries to retain donations for the library or fundraising for the library, what is the need to have any other charitable contribution fund set up anywhere else or even within the library? Do we even need anything else besides it?
The library doesn't, but if the Friends want to pursue going down that road, because they are fundraising and getting quite a substantial amount of money, that might be a protection for that fund.
Okay. So for protection for your funds is why they would do that.
I would think so. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, please. I didn't want to bring you in if you did.
No, that's okay. That was the first thing that I asked when I came in is, are we a 501c3? Because we're asking for donations. People give when they know that they can, it might possibly qualify as a tax deduction. We can't put that on anything. It allows us then to possibly look at grants, probably look at other things that were limited without being a legal entity. So it's something that I think the library, the Friends, should pursue.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you. Let's see, there's no need to go in executive session, and that's it, we're adjourned.